Now, today's Old Testament reading is Psalm chapter 103, verses 13 through 18. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we were dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its peace knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
The New Testament reading, taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. As he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May your Spirit be upon us, our Heavenly Father, that your word may be more fully known to us this day. We pray this through the love of the Father and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. The calling of the first disciples of Jesus, it's an impressive event. We see Jesus walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee when he sees two fishermen casting their nets into the waters, their names Simon and Andrew. And Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people." And immediately they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. Jesus walks a little further along the beach and he encounters two more would-be disciples, their names James and John. And they're sitting in the boat because they were fishermen and they were mending their nets. Jesus called them to follow and they left the boat and they followed Jesus. Now think about the faith of these first followers of our Lord. Willing to leave everything behind, everything they knew, just to embrace this call from this man, Jesus, you have to wonder how much did they even know about him. They weren't clear about what the future was going to be. They didn't take any career placement test as far as what it was like or what it is to be a qualified disciple, no disciple officer basic course to ready them for the way ahead. When Jesus came to them, holding this before them, this brimming call with possibility, they grabbed it. And thanks be to God for that kind of faith. But amidst this impressive scene, which portrays the eager faith of the first disciples, these fishermen, is the mention of another person, one just barely mentioned. And that is the Father of James and John. Remember, it is said that James and John were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And so the picture I have here is the three of them, you know, working diligently with these mending their fishing nets, James and John. They hear the voice of Jesus, and so they plop those nets right in the lap of their father. and leave. And I can't help but be sympathetic to that father. I mean, here was a man who shared his vocation with his sons, and no doubt he taught his sons the skill of being a fisherman, probably not unlike what his father did with him. And over the years, they provided for their families together. They labored many hours under the hot sun beating down on their backs. Together, they celebrated the big catches, and together they commiserated when there was hardly anything to take home. You know, I've learned in these ancient times that fishing was about teamwork. I mean, this image of a man, you know, sitting leisurely in a fishing boat with a hat down over his eyes and the fishing pole in the water, that's not what fishing was like back then. First, you had to contend with a small, crude wooden boat. And there's not much to it, as you can see. And it was while the one man would maneuver the boat, another would either row the boat or set the sail, if the boat had one. And usually one would try to find the sweet spot in the waters where you thought, well, that's where the catch of fish are going to be, and you would cast your net over and over, and if that wasn't there, they had to go to another place. Another brother had to move that boat. And if you had a big catch of fish, you needed the assistance of another person to help pull that net in, and not to mention the maintenance of the boat, the mending of the nets, the patching of the sails. Now, all of this was thrust upon this father. I'm trying to get into the mind of this father. And he's thinking, you know, as the years go by and my joints get stiffer, there's going to come a day when they're going to take care of me. And they're going to have their sons, and they're going to teach them how to fish. Because that's what's expected to do. And now all this changed. Because they went off with this man calling them to follow. The Bible reminds us that when Christ calls a person, there is more than one person affected by that call. We know the disciples of Jesus sacrificed, leaving behind family, and vocation, and friends. But the people who were closest to them sacrificed also. We think of different examples of this in the Bible, and the one that comes to mind the most, I consider Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus. Jesus would fashion his life after the suffering servant, a man acquainted with sorrow and grief. And because he obeyed the voice of his father and made that sacrifice, others had to make sacrifices as well. Joseph, not unlike Zebedee, taught his son Jesus a vocation in the intricacies of what it meant to be a carpenter, and that way of life and security in his later years would be gone because Jesus had another calling. And Joseph let him go. Think about the people in your life who have been affected by the choices you have made, or a calling that you decided to follow. Even when they may not have been good choices, even when these choices might even bring harm upon you, maybe now would be a good time to express your appreciation for those sacrifices and that willingness to let you go. That's what I so admire about this father. He recognizes his role in the calling of his sons to be disciples. He recognized that Christ had called his sons for a special purpose, and he wasn't included. Jesus specifically laid eyes on James and John, not Zebedee, for them to follow. His role was to stay in the boat. And you know, you don't see this father running after his sons saying, "What are you doing? Shirking your responsibilities, following at this person. You don't even know who it is." Or on the other side of it, you don't say, "Hey, if you're off for some great big adventure, I want to come along too." No. The call was to his sons and not to him. You know, you don't hear one word from this father. And the fact that this father doesn't speak a word speaks volumes about him. I know a man who raised three sons. He worked in a coal mine most of his life, and he scrimped and he saved and so that they might have a chance for a better life. And the result was that they were able to go on to have very productive lives. One became a doctor. Another became a missionary. Another became a teacher. And when asked if he should get the credit for this, he said, "It isn't about me. It's about them and their future." Zebedee was that kind of father. I know of another father who did everything with his son, and you could see them spending hours throwing catch with the baseball in the summertime and the football in the fall, and the boy would come home from school and he would put his father's tennis shoes right by the door so that when that father got home, he could change into his tennis shoes and get about the serious business of sports. And when it came time for this boy to go to college, he thought, maybe I'll just stay home. I'll go to the local community college. And it was his father who insisted, "No, you must go. You must live apart from us and begin this new stage in your life." It was the right thing to do. He had to move on. This father and Zebedee shared something in common. You see, I'm thinking these fishermen who became disciples were able to do that because of the influence of their father. He was the one who raised these sons. He is the one who shared his life with them, teaching them the things that were important. And you have to think that ability that they had to seize on that moment, to drop the nets, was because of something he instilled in them. He wanted them to be ready to seize the moment. You know, in these ancient times, the father was the one responsible for the religious education of his children. He was responsible for the family observing the holy Jewish days and the rituals that were unique to that faith. And perhaps it was, because he took seriously his role as a father in the covenant God made with his people, that he took seriously the words of the Lord when God said to his people in the book of Deuteronomy, "Keep these words which I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home or when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise up." Or it could be this father learned about the compassion of God when he read the words of Psalm 103, which we heard from a moment ago. "As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him." And this enabled him to convey that godlike compassion to his sons, concern for their well-being and not his own. This father must have taken seriously the words from 2 Samuel, which says, "Start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." You know, like so many people living in this time period, this father, being the devout person that he was yearning, for that coming of the Messiah. And so his word to them was, "Sons, be ready when God is ready to fulfill his promise." And seeing Jesus as that one who was the fulfillment of that promise, his heart leaped for joy when he saw Jesus approach and beckon his sons to follow. And his joy now was in the new beginning that his sons were able to have. This father was a cheerleader. Go for it. And so we know what this means. There are times in the Christian life when we are called to drop everything and to seize the moment, like those first disciples. But there are other times when you'll be asked to stay in the boat, to allow somebody else to go ahead of you. But that takes great faith also. God will honor whichever side of the boat you occupy. God will be faithful to you with either one of these callings. That's what we can learn from this fisherman father, this one barely mentioned. Amen.